Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Here's a very underrated band, Modest Mouse. Remember, they were on Saturday Night Live several years ago when they had this song and they had Ocean Breeze Salty. And I the first time I'd seen him live, and it was on TV, not actually live and in person. It's like, this band is really good. And Liam Neeson was the host. So when he introduced him with that Irish accent as, "Ladies and gentlemen, Modest Mouse."
They're coming to Kansas City, I think, next weekend.
Are they really?
My mom's going to.
Where are they playing?
I can't remember now. I went by my mom's place and I saw tickets. Starlight, maybe.
Okay.
Ooh,
but they're coming to the. Yeah. They're coming to the area. I think it's next weekend, maybe 2 weekends from now.
Hopefully, it'll be warmed up by then. If we're playing Starlight. Modest Mouse, yeah, very underrated. And then after those two songs, they kind of disappeared for a while.
They just weren't getting airplay,
maybe?
Yeah, they've been doing it for a long time, too. Okay. That was, for whatever reason, that album blew up.
Yeah.
They had one more song.
It was like maybe 4 years later that it again blew up, really popular. That was like a big hit. But yeah, they've been doing it for, mid-2000s?
Yeah, a long time.
2003, 2004, I think.
Welcome to our panel discussion on the band Modest Mouse, by the way. Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. I'm your host, Brad Porter. Jed Marshall's back in here. Rudy Salazar is running the board. News just out of Ann Arbor. No shock here. Not big news, but Mo Wagner will forego his senior season for the Michigan Wolverines. Jed Marshall is a Michigan fan. He has hired an agent, going pro. There's no going back. This is not a surprise. He was awesome in the Final Four. He's awesome in the NCAA tournament. So, this is what happened last year. So after his sophomore season, in which he averaged just over 12 points, just over 4 rebounds per game, NBA executives said you might need to go back because you're a second rounder right now, but you'd do yourself well to go back. Came back for his junior season, averaged over 14.5 points, so more than 2.5 points a game, averaged over 7 rebounds a game, so improved by 3 rebounds per game, better on defense, and better toughness. So came back, improved his game. He's going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
He is 6'11", 245 pounds.
And shoots threes.
And shoots threes.
Handle it and put it on the deck.
And he said,
but more importantly, I just found out I was right. It's Starlight Theater.
Yeah.
But
Starlight Theater.
May 11th, so I was a little early. But
May 11th. Rudy, there are tickets for $51.
That's the important thing here in all this Mo Wagner talk. I was right about something.
Can you do the radio announcer voice that announces a concert? May 11th.
See, I'm not good at those voices.
I shouldn't have done that.
I'm terrible at those. We need, like, Curtis is your man for that type of stuff.
Sunday. Monster truck cross. But I digress. We're going to kick around some various topics for this next hour. We'll go ahead and go to the phone lines here. 913-3810-810. That's 913-3810-810. We'll start with Wayne in Topeka. Wayne, you're on Sports Saturday. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot. I was driving and listened to that great interview of Jesse Newell.
Uh-huh.
And is he a KU beat writer, I guess?
Yes.
And I thought he did a great job of unbiased, reporting and discussions on it. I'm a K-State grad, but I've been defending KU in the fact they may or may not know about those payments. But I think, as you guys, the victim part, though, is ridiculous. KU is not a victim. But I'm wondering, back in the 1800s when I went to K-State, I had to fill out a financial statement. I wasn't on scholarship. I wonder if scholarship players' parents have to fill out financial statements even though they're getting scholarships. The reason I bring it up, if Bruce Weber recruits a five-star player out of East St. Louis and his parents are below the poverty line, and all of a sudden they show up at K-State for every weekend game driving a 500 exaggerating a little bit.
Right.
Driving a brand new car, or they move to Manhattan and buy a $200,000 house. Do you think the parents would, I mean, the coaches would notice that? You know what I'm saying? I just find it hard to believe the KU staff wouldn't recognize changes in the financial conditions of the parents.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the parents, if they have to fill out stuff, yeah. if they're on full scholarship. I don't know how that works. I know the players have to mm-hmm. sign forms that they will not take money or receive payments yeah. or make money off their likeness, which, by the way, making money off your likeness, that may be changing.
Oh, really?
That's one of the okay. things the NCAA is considering, allowing mm-hmm. players to actually sign an autograph
yeah.
and make a buck or have their picture taken or something. They're considering that. I don't know mm-hmm. how far that goes. But, yeah, the financial details, I'm not sure. I wasn't yeah. a Division I athlete. But,
you know, I'm sure the coaching staffs get very friendly and familiar with the parents and know their financial condition, you know, especially if these poor kids come from poor families. And would have to notice changes in their financial condition, I would think.
There are a bunch of different levels that go on, because I can reference, for instance, Marcus and Markieff Morris came from Philadelphia, and when they moved, they stayed for 3 years at Kansas. Their mom actually moved to Lawrence. I don't remember why she came along, but mm-hmm. she relocated from Philadelphia to Lawrence. I don't know what yeah. is allowed within the framework of the NCAA, but there's mm-hmm. an example of a parent being moved, obviously, I don't know, 1,500 yeah. miles. So it's certainly a gray area.
Yeah, sure is.
The point that Brad was making about the likeness, Seren mm-hmm. Petro, who does our midday show from 10 to 2, had on Ed O'Bannon talking about his lawsuit that he actually had against the NCAA, talking mm-hmm. about this, and even Jim Boeheim from down at the Final Four. And Boeheim made the point that players trying to make money from their likeness is certainly possible, but the money that these players would make is maybe like, you know, a couple $1,000s, which isn't right. life-changing money, which I think yeah. people think, at least student-athletes think, is going to be a huge game-changer mm-hmm. for them, but realistically it's not going to.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I've been defending KU, but I just find it hard to believe they wouldn't know if a parent all of a sudden moved to Lawrence for 3 years, if they were below the poverty.
That happens. And, you know, Wayne, and I've got some more calls I'm going to have to get here. But just to finish up, there are times when parents do want to move to the hometown where their kids go to school, and some can easily get jobs there depending on what industry they work in.
Yeah.
So that happens quite a bit. And I don't know how many times a coach knows what home they move to. So I don't know, Wayne.
Okay. Well, you guys appreciate it. I really enjoy your show on Saturdays at Beats. No offense to the Racing Boys, but I just don't like the weekends where you don't hear sports discussed. So I appreciate your show. Thanks a lot,
right.
Bryce.
Hey, Wayne. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That's Wayne calling in, a K-State fan defending KU. Yeah, I mean, you're really getting down into the nuts and the bolts on how much or how far a university can get into finding what the parents' living situation, unless they have to sign disclosure forms. I don't know.
They also probably have a pretty good idea, especially in basketball, where the coaches go into the homes and
right.
actually see what's up.
Right.
So I think that they have a rough idea as far as the actual income amount. I think it's like you always like to say, they build in certain levels of plausible deniability
right.
about, well, I didn't know what was really going on.
Let's go to Ted on line 3. Ted, you're on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. What's up, Ted?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I don't think there's any need to defend Kansas. I don't think there's any speculation involved in this. I don't think Kansas needs to know what's happening with the parents. We all know as fans what's been going on, and to think that Bill Self didn't know what was going on, or the people at Kansas. How many top 10 recruits did Bill Self get before they became an Adidas? I guess that's one question I would ask, because he's regularly had top 10 recruits since Kansas has become an Adidas school.
Bill Self had top recruits when they were a Nike school.
And at Illinois.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, how many at Kansas before they were an Adidas? I'm just throwing this at Adidas, I guess.
J.R. Giddens, David Padgett, I mean, quite a few.
Nike is the number one shoe in basketball, and they were a Nike school. There was There's no reason they were not going to get top 10 recruits because they had a different shoe other than Adidas. So,
well, all I'm saying is that the shoe companies, the one and done and the shoe companies combined, are the problem with college basketball.
That very well could be, yeah. And that's
and what you're doing is, I don't know how many top 50 kids are funneled to Kansas, Kentucky, and Duke every year. And the people that it hurts are the other, 300 schools or whatever, Division I schools that are out there. And the reason that the shoe companies are funneling these kids there is because of the exposure that those kids get and the exposure that their products get. You know, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, they are the blue bloods of college basketball right now. I mean, I see why they're doing it, but if the NCAA wants to correct something, let the kids go pro, let them make their money, and get the shoe companies out of the schools. I think the shoe companies don't have an incentive to do any of this stuff once you let those kids go pro.
All right. Hey, Ted, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you very much. And those kids are going to a top five school anyway. I don't think it matters where they're funneled to. They're not hurting 300 schools because, look, I'm a UMKC basketball fan. The kids that go to Kansas are not going to UMKC.
Yeah, I was going to say, whether you're funneled or not, whether the kids can go pro or not, I still think Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky are still going to get the best players who decide to go to college at whatever level. It's not going to make, I don't know, like you said, UMKC blow up, and it's now they're Kansas's equal. Mm-hmm. Southern Illinois isn't going to be running the roost of college basketball.
Cal's favorite line is whenever he's asked about new rules, he's like, I really don't care because Kentucky's always going to eat first.
It's true, though. I think that's 100% valid.
Yes. He does not care too much about what the change is. He's like, we'll be fine.
Yeah,
and that just goes to your point. Like,
it doesn't matter what shoe brand it is, because KU has got, and any other school, KU has gotten guys who went to Nike camps.
Right.
And Nike schools get players from the Adidas camps and Under Armour this and Under Armour that. And by the way, it's up to the NBA to decide if you can go pro right away. It's not the NCAA. Let's go to Scott on line 4. Scott, you're on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. What's up, Scott?
Well, hey, I just had a quick question. I have, and maybe I just haven't heard it clearly, but I'm trying to figure out what in the world of all of this is actually illegal. I get it. It's a violation of NCAA rules potentially by, their rules saying you can't take money for your likeness or your whatever. But I'm trying to figure out, why we're wasting all this money investigating kids getting money for playing basketball. When, I don't understand what's illegal about that.
Well, and I've thought about that, too. And the line in the story by Jesse Newell and Blair Kirchhoff calls them illegal payments. It could be illegal. And I'd have to get a lawyer on to get the exact answer. And I know a handful of them, and some listen to this show. You're bribing a kid to go to a school, then you're hurting the institution. There's a list of things that are wrong with it. But like Jed and I talked about earlier, I'm not sure how this must be bigger or broader than we thought to get the FBI involved in it, because otherwise I don't see where this is on the priority list. And it's
I don't see where that's really a bribe. I mean, it'd be no different than myself signing with Adidas or whoever to wear their gear. I mean, that's just a contract that I entered into with them. Again, it might be against NCAA rules, which it clearly is, but that's the NCAA's problem, not the FBI's. I don't know. It seems like we're wasting a lot of money, of resources and things like that.
It's also
things that need to be bigger fish.
It's also untracked money. You can't just hand somebody cash in the United States.
I could pay you in cash.
Sure, you can, but you need to report it on your income tax. You need to report it on your income tax. Who knows how many of those?
Now they might be able to go after the people who received the money if they didn't report it.
Right, that's how Al Capone got busted.
Illegal. I mean, I don't see where this is an issue for the schools or an issue for even Adidas if they paid it. It's up, if they sent them a 1099 that said they paid them the money and the parents or legal guardians didn't report it.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. If I gave you $20,000 cash in a duffel bag, are you reporting that to the IRS, sir?
Well, more than likely not. But
well, there you go.
Me.
That's probably where the issue comes from.
It has nothing to do with you as that being an illegal payment to me. That's not, I mean, that's not illegal for you to pay me in cash.
This is what I'm going to do, Scott, and I've got to run because I got some other callers here. I'm going to let the FBI handle it. Because they know where they want to go. That's why I said this is probably – I wonder if it's bigger and broader and why this rose to this level of an investigation. By the way, this is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here as well. Rudy Salazar is into it. And that was my whole point, Jed, is I don't know why the FBI is involved unless it involves the IRS. There must be more money. There must be – a lot more money than what we've read. I don't know.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Or they think it's going to go further.
Yes, or this college basketball mafia is somehow like controlling the world and doing all sorts of things that we don't know. Well, I'm throwing that possibility out. You heard it here first.
All right. We'll take a couple of more calls before we take a break. Let's go to Chris on line 5. Chris, you're on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Brad. How you doing? I enjoy your Saturday morning work.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, let me defend KU a little bit, and this is why, as a KU fan, I feel pretty good about the spot they're in. And can they do a better job in compliance and maybe asking questions? Sure, and maybe that's going to catch them at the end. But Brad, look at the timeline of this whole thing. It was right before Midnight Madness. Is when the FBI had their first press conference. Remember that?
The FBI likes to make a splash.
Okay, so that was like the last week of September or whatever it was. Okay, so that's when you knew that Adidas was deep into this crap. Okay, KU also at that same time just got a new contract from Adidas at the same time. So KU knew everything that was going on with Adidas big time. Trust me, KU was asking more questions than we were, okay? And so they're being real extra careful. And at the same time, DeSoso signs a letter of intent in that early signing period for next year. Remember, he was still in high school. He signed a year out.
With the understanding KU. That he was going to try to get eligible by December and make a transfer.
Well, I don't think that happened at first. That happened later when KU got short on bodies and stuff. I think he was clearly signed for next year, okay? And then we had Billy Preston's issues and, whatever, and we were just short on guys. And then they decided, okay, let's try to reclassify him and get this done here.
Okay, let's move it along to what?
December 1st.
Okay.
No way. Well, my point is, guys, there's no way – if KU thought he was hot and that Adidas was still making payments to him, that KU would have got involved in that to reclassify him in the middle of the semester and risk playing an eligible player. There's just no way because it was too hot. You're not messing with the NCAA. You're messing with the FBI, and there is no way that KU knew he took money. There just isn't.
Well, hey, Chris, I appreciate your phone call, and that's what I would say. If you're Bill Self in Kansas, you can't be in the home of every parent, guardian, uncle, aunt, brother, sister, friend to find out if they're getting a check from Adidas. You can't monitor their bank accounts.
You also don't have the ability to vet every Adidas employee who walks around and has access to these student athletes or AAU kids or whatever.
All right. We'll take one more call here before the break. Let's go to JT on line 2. JT, what's up? You're on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hey, guys. A couple of observations from the outside looking in. First of all, I believe that everybody who's involved in college basketball is unsuited to really look at this situation. I think what the FBI has done is they've looked at college basketball as a whole and determined that it's a corrupt industry. And what they're trying to do is correct that corruption within that industry, much like they would, illegal drug cartels. Obviously, it's not as illegal drug cartels. However, it's run in the same manner, okay, because under-the-table payments are commonplace. I believe that Adidas has come to the forefront of this because, like a couple callers back said, they're trying to make a run. They're trying to increase their market share. And by doing that, they're more aggressively pursuing under-the-table payments to players. That's where, and I'll also agree that I don't think Coach Self knows that this is going on. I think the only question for Kansas is, if you have a shoe company that's giving you millions of dollars and they're funneling players to you, does that institute a lack of institutional control if you're accepting that situation, if you're effectively turning a blind eye to it, right?
Okay.
But I really believe that you're going to have to back up and have people who are not in the media, not part of college basketball, and not part of the blue blood teams take a look at this to make a determination on whether this industry is sound and running by the rules that the rest of the economy is supposed to.
All right, JT. Hey, I appreciate your phone call. And I look, you can't discount what the media does in stories like this. And I'll just use this for example. I read another revolting story about Michigan State last night about things that were covered up, and it was newspapers and television stations mm-hmm. that went after the information to continue to draw out the cretins they have who are still running the university. So let's not throw that out. Look, like I said, what's the end game here for the FBI? Is it the shoe companies? Is it the money? Is it the tax money? Is it what's the end game here? That's what. And I don't know if you need somebody from the outside to reconstruct the NCAA. That's you want to take that. You want the federal government to rebuild the NCAA.
I can think of a few more pressing issues that I'd like addressed.
Just a couple. The universities. Okay, if I say the universities should rebuild it, then you'll say it's the universities who let it get out of. So I don't know. I don't have all the answers. None of us has all the answers. None of us can know all the answers. I just want to know where it's going, and I want to move on to something else. Right? A little more positive. We're gonna have one more segment in the show. Two more segments. You want to do something fun? Jed shaking. He's not sure.
I don't care.
Okay.
I'll do whatever.
We'll do whatever. All right. But we'll take a quick time out here. Jed Marshall is with us. I am Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Saturday, live from the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming out of my cage and I've been doing just fine. Gotta be down because I want it all. It started out with a kiss, had it in a blind dance. It was only a kiss, it was only a kiss. Now I'm falling asleep and she's calling a cab.
That's a good song. That's another one of those that got played so much when it came out, but I haven't heard it in a while, and you forget how good it actually is. A good song.
You can always tell when Rudy's behind the glass.
Killers going to be on there.
He plays this song every
time.
I
love the Killers.
This and Vampire Weekend. I bet yeah. Vampire Weekend's coming
Killers, Vampire Weekend. Like, those are two of my favorites.
Yeah, I know. Those are your jams.
I have not seen them, but I've heard the Killers are really good live.
I'm also really good on Killers. I think it's Sam's Town on Rock Band. I was like a pro at that song.
Oh, really?
I play that song just over and over and over and over and over and over.
Is Rock Band still a popular game? It doesn't seem. I never hear about it anymore. I used to hear people say,
"Yeah,
oh,
I don't think it's you know what it was." I feel like I would still have fun like we play Mario Kart downstairs. Mm-hmm. Like if we had Rock Band downstairs, I could get into some Rock Band.
I can't play Rock Band. I'm not good enough with both hands. I don't have the coordination.
I don't either.
I loved it. One of my or even Guitar Hero, either one.
Same Guitar Hero,
like, cuz Rock Band technically, I guess, it had the drums also.
Right.
It had the whole set. Guitar Hero was just the guitar. Guitar Hero was the one where I would play the Killers on the most.
Right.
But yeah, no, I would love if we had that game downstairs. I could get into some Guitar Hero before work.
We're back on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Jed Marshall's in studio. Really, Rudy Salazar is running the show. We are broadcasting live from the Rally House studio. Speaking of games, there was a video that went viral this week. And by viral, I mean in Kansas City itself. Thanks in part to everybody here at Sports Radio 810 WHB and to Mick Schaefer from 41 Action News. Cody Tapp at night has this wheel downstairs.
Really bad.
I think it's based, you make bets, right? Or you make prognostications, and if you're wrong, there's a wheel. It's kind of like a Wheel of Fortune, but it's a wheel mm-hmm. with really awful things that you might have to do.
Some are worse than others.
Some are worse than others. I'm not going to play this game.
I think you'll probably somehow get roped into it at some point.
I may. I'm not going to eat anything weird. I'm with Beards on this. Beards says there are certain things he doesn't like to eat. And one of the things, what do you have on that thing? Is there scorpions
or
something?
Yeah, there's eat scorpions, and then there's, I think, hot sauce shots are the two food-related.
Yeah, see, I'm not doing that. I have a weak constitution, weak stomach.
I think you'd be fine.
But the video that went viral this week is Beards, Nathan Wilhelm, what did he lose? I heard how it unfolded, but what did he lose?
Cody set up a bracket challenge on ESPN.com for the five most, I guess, I don't know, participants in sports night. So it was Cody, obviously, Charlie, Josh, Beards, myself, and then David Leskey, who we're going to have on tomorrow. And then there was one other gal who writes for, I think it's Sprott's Takes. So anyways, we did this wager challenge, and...
Is it Gat?
No, it's not Gat. Okay. It's another gal. I can't remember. I apologize if you're listening.
Okay.
But so anyways, the point was the loser, the person who finished in dead last, would spin the wheel, and it got down to being Leskey or Beards, dependent upon the outcome of the KU Villanova game. Villanova obviously ended up winning, so Beards had to spin, and he got Ping Pong Ball Firing Squad, which doesn't sound like a bad challenge until it's put into practice. And
I saw the pictures. He took a beating.
He did. Beards was a really good sport about it, but being someone who was able to participate in barreling, I don't know, probably 50 ping pong balls at him, I wouldn't want to do that. Bluma came in.
You had a former major league pitcher hurling ping pong.
Yeah, he was throwing ping pong balls from about 8 feet, which was, I don't know, painful. And yeah, Beards, he had some pretty bad welts. But they healed up the next day, so...
They were gone? Okay.
For the most part.
I saw the first picture of it, I had not seen the video yet, so he had posted a picture, or one of you guys posted a picture first, and I saw the welts, and at first I thought, oh, he's doing the Michael Phelps thing, the suction cups that he uses on his body. Right. I was like, well, I wonder why...
Because Beards and Michael Phelps are built exactly the same.
I wonder why Beards is doing that, and then I was like, oh, he got 50 ping pong balls... Fired. Did somebody have a ping pong gun?
No, nobody had a ping pong gun.
You were just all thrown. Okay.
We had Paddles, Kyle, who does our Facebook Live and social media stuff, came in. He brought, I don't know, I think 5 paddles, and Cody had 4. So it was a good time. The people downstairs who actually run like a legitimate business, I'm not sure what they do. the owner actually came out and watched. So it was a good time, had by all.
Good stuff. Yeah. I know Mick ran it on 41.
Only like 10 seconds of it. And the greatest part was hearing Rhiannon and Allie
go,
oh my God, in the background.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that's what I was going to bring
up.
It
wasn't that bad. Come on. I guess the difference between men and women. But.
She thought it was terrible. I thought it was hilarious.
It was pretty fun.
It was funny. Hopefully everybody's a good sport. Everybody's okay.
I think. Yeah, I mean, Beards came to work the past
few days.
He had goggles
on, so safety precautions were in order. If the HR department wants to ask about it.
They actually did make him sign a release. The worst part was that Fast Talk and Rob hit a late shot, so he got penalized. Beards got to hit 2 at him, and then Bluma throw 1 at him, and none of them connected. So Fast Talk and Rob skated
free.
Disappointing.
I know we had at the place where I used to work, a TV station. We used to have there was a basketball goal in the studio first, and then all of a sudden somebody was like, "Well, we have a lot of lights in here, and maybe it's not a good idea to be chucking basketballs in the studio."
Probably,
but I mean, they were super high, and they only got hit a couple of times. So we set up a basketball hoop outside, one of those, it's got the portable base, and then you put it up. And I think we played on that basketball goal for several months. And then somebody from upstairs, I don't work there anymore, so I don't care. Somebody upstairs looked out the window one day. Oh, I think that's a problem. I think that's a violation. And they came down and said, you guys can't play basketball in the driveway anymore. And we're like, well, because you got to understand, where I worked was a company that also had a TV station.
Mm-hmm.
So there were corporate people that were not involved with the TV side at all.
Right.
And so it was one of those corporate people who were still technically in charge of our
department. All the corporate suits, man.
And that somebody didn't like it, and somebody's going to get hurt. And I guess you have to be... So you know what?
How often do people really get hurt, though?
Well, then, not soon after, I believe the invitations came out to participate in the KC Challenge. What is it?
The Kansas City Corporate Challenge.
Kansas City Corporate Challenge. What do you do in the Kansas City Corporate Challenge?
Don't you do all sorts of crazy?
All sports. All sports. You guys down there in the driveway at the TV station having fun, you can't have a basketball goal because somebody might get hurt. Hey, you guys want to play in the Corporate Challenge?
How'd your guys' basketball team do?
I don't know. I didn't participate. And that was corporate. That wasn't just the TV station. That was the whole company that did that. Because one year many years ago, we tried to get our own team. And again, it was somebody in corporate was like, well, because we weren't involved early on as a company. And then our channel was like, well, we want to set up a team. We're like, well, we don't think that's fair to the other people in the company. So nobody gets a team. And then within a couple of years, it was like, oh, hey, what? The whole company's going to have a team. You got, no. Mick Schaefer used to do the corporate challenge. He would do I think he did the spelling bee. I think there's a spelling bee in the corporate challenge.
Mick's such a smartass that doesn't surprise me. That would be what he signed up for.
Yeah.
I'm playing the spelling bee.
Do they have golf in the corporate challenge?
Mick actually would be a ringer in that.
Yes, he would. And he would also lead the entire corporate community in bombs dropped on the golf course. It's a bad shot. It gets colorful. Like most people.
You just got to let it roll in golf.
Got to let it roll. We're into the final few minutes of the show here on Sports Saturday, and I do want to touch on the NBA for a few minutes here. The reason is I think there's a lot of people here at Sports Radio 810, WHB, and Union Broadcasting who really like the NBA. And there was a period where I got away from it for a good while. It was, it was maybe 8-9 years ago, 10 years ago. It was a league that wasn't really that much fun. There weren't a lot of great personalities, and it wasn't all that interesting or compelling. But I've gotten back into it, and I think several people have gotten back into it, and particularly young people are more drawn to it because they have larger-than-life personalities. The matchups in the playoffs, including the opening rounds, are compelling, if not for talent amongst all the teams, but for the name value that's still associated with some of these teams. My kids are really into the NBA, and of course, I listen to everything that they say and then dismiss about 90% of it, but they're really into it. So today is the first day of the NBA playoffs for this season. And I'll just throw out the matchups for you for today. Spurs-Warriors, which you can hear on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coverage begins at 1:30. Wizards-Raptors. Heat-76ers. Pelicans-Trailblazers. So Spurs-Warriors obviously has big name value. That's a 2-7 seed. Warriors, two of the last three NBA championships. Steph Curry's not going to play in this opening round, but you still have some of the top players in the NBA. You still have Kevin Durant. You still have Klay Thompson. You still have Draymond Green. You still have a really good team. Spurs, Kawhi Leonard's not playing today. Their players are aging a little bit. And maybe it's that one more run they got, but I don't think so. I think this is at best a 5-game series.
Maybe.
Maybe. Sweeps.
I think it's going to be a sweep.
It's hard to call a sweep because somebody steals one at home or something like that.
But at best, 5 games.
No more than 5 games.
It's not going to be a competitive series, I think we're going to say.
If Kawhi Leonard is really as injured as what he thinks, this is kind of the end run for the Spurs. I mean, Ginobili is old. Tony Parker is old. And Tony Parker's taking a spot on the bench. I understand that, but the big man they got from Portland, all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank.
LaMarcus
Aldridge has been a complete miss.
Didn't fit
with their system.
He hasn't been a complete miss. He's just a limited player. He's not a superstar.
And he doesn't like
being
the way
spoiled with 17 years of Tim Duncan, I also think gives an unfair criticism to what LaMarcus really
just
is.
Just because you had one of the top 50 players of all time and had to settle for LaMarcus.
The Spurs
still
will be
a
all right.
Player. Right.
I think it's fair to say it for last year. I think when he got to the San Antonio, it was a rough start.
Right.
I've seen a couple people have him on their second team All NBA this year. Like he did have himself
got a
really
better.
Good year. But initially though, yes. And first impressions can stick a little bit longer. Initially, it was a bit of a rough start. Jante Murray. I don't know how his first name is. It's DJONTAE.
Yes. Just go with Murray.
The point guard Murray is looking pretty good.
And so, you have Pop. That's really all you need.
Yeah. So I think they can probably keep this going for a while. And I think that's why they'll at least win one game. Yeah, Popovich.
Right.
Should mean one win, right? Popovich probably has. I wonder if he's ever been swept in a playoff series.
That'd be a good stat. Maybe you can look that up.
Maybe the, 15 years ago when they didn't make it, or however long it's been.
Well, in last year, even Kawhi Leonard almost single-handedly beat Golden State in the opening game. They had that miraculous comeback that Golden State made, of course, spawned by a barrage of threes. But
right.
I don't see that being very competitive.
Okay, so we'll go five games max on that one. Wizards-Raptors, I'm not sure the Wizards can be competitive overall, but what I like about this is the Raptors are underrated because they don't play on national TV as much as the Warriors and the Spurs and Rockets. But they're a fantastic team. Love their team. With the Wizards, I don't think they have a great team, but watching John Wall, watching Kelly Oubre,
Bradley Beal,
they're really good young players. They just don't have a lot, and they're just not as good.
I think the injury to John Wall really hurt the Wizards this year.
Yeah.
They're still trying to get him back in the mix. They would have probably been a much higher seed. I don't know, not much higher, but could have moved up in the seeding. My thing is that the Raptors are fine, but they're also a limited team. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry are okay players. Rudy and I actually were having this exact conversation, 2 days ago? To me, I think the Wizards actually have a chance to upset them. Marcin Gortat in the inside is a defensive monster.
He's fascinating to watch.
Right? Well, Andy's kind of a dirty player
as
well.
Yes, he is.
They have Markieff Morris. I don't know. I think that they have a lot of offensive power. Where they'll struggle is if you get to the bench. They don't have a lot coming off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And typically when series, the best team wins. The one exception is when the other team has the best player. John Wall is the best player in the series. Yeah. Like he's the most. So John Wall goes off. He can carry the victory. Also, looking at this, Popovich got swept last year in the conference finals.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there you go.
So it was just last year. All right. So we'll go. Well, make your pick. Raptors, Wizards, winner, number of games.
I'll take the Raptors, but in seven.
Okay. I can down with that. I might go six, but it goes longer. Yeah, it's a longer series. All right. Heat versus 76ers, and the 76ers. We'll see if Joel Embiid is ready to go. The process. I'm not sure. You got Ben Simmons, who's probably going to win Rookie of the Year.
Maybe. Donovan Mitchell's putting up quite a gripe.
See, I like Donovan Mitchell a lot more just because I'm a fan of watching him play. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons rubs me the wrong way a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Because he's Australian?
The accent. Yeah, that's the reason. No, I don't know. Something about him. Sometimes people rub you the wrong way.
Because he's the future of basketball?
Because he's awesome and LeBron James loves him. And yes, he is fantastic.
Yeah, it's always horrible watching greatness unfold.
Yes.
Way to be in a good mood all day, Brad. Make us play good mood music and then crap all over it.
76ers have finally seen the process come to at least where they're in the playoffs now. I mean, it's not. They're not going to win a championship. They're taking on the Heat, and I'm really not buying the Heat at all.
Eric Spoelstra is a good coach.
Yeah, he is.
I think it could be
a great coach.
It could be a more competitive series
than people
give it credit for, but I still think that the 76ers are going to probably win in five games.
Yeah.
They've won 14 straight games. They're playing unreal basketball. Embiid and Hassan Whiteside don't like each other. That'll be an intriguing matchup. I look forward to watching Joel Embiid's Twitter.
Embiid and Whiteside go back and forth on Instagram quite a bit, don't they?
Yeah, all the social media platforms.
Last one, then we need to take a break. Pelicans and Trailblazers. Outside of Anthony Davis, I'm not finding a lot of compelling reasons to watch this series.
Don't care. Pelicans. Because they have, I don't know, the brow.
You're making a sweep just to get that series over?
Right. I hope so. And Drew Holiday is an all right player.
Yeah. I like Drew Holiday. I've met him a couple of times because his wife, Lauren Holiday, formerly Lauren Cheney, played for the U.S. national soccer team, the women's soccer team, and played for FC Kansas City.
Oh, there you go.
So I got to know her a little bit, and Drew would come up for some of the games, and he would work out. Fantastic. Everybody who's met him says fantastic guy. great guy. So I can root for him. I'm just not watching that series. All right. On that note, we will take a time out, and then we'll come back and wrap things up. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios, and we'll be back right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That opening sequence to that song makes me think of that Pierce Brosnan movie. The art theft movie. Good gravy. It was a remake.
He wears a bowler hat. I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Clearly, since you can't remember. Thomas Crown Affair.
Thomas Crown Affair, which the original is fantastic. If you ever see the original, it is awesome. But there's a scene in that movie that the opening of that song made me think of that. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I am Brad Porter, broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. Jed Marshall is here. One final segment. Rudy Salazar is running the show. I just got a couple of minutes left, and Matt has been waiting a long time. Matt, real quick, what do you got for us?
Yeah, you asked a rhetorical question about what's the end game that the FBI is doing.
Yes, I did.
KU and basketball.
Yes, I did.
The end game is to clean it up because it's dirty. It's filthy. Are you a KU fan? I'm just curious.
I did not go to KU. I went to UMKC, so I have nothing to brag about.
Okay. Well, yeah, okay. So it's the last caller about 25 minutes ago made a really great point. It's impossible to objectively look at the situation if you're in it or if you're a fan of one of the other teams that's embroiled in this controversy. But I think history is going to look back on this period as very unfavorable for college sports because it's KU is a CBA team, plain and simple. And for them to claim that they're not aware of players coming through the Adidas pay-to-play program is laughable.
Okay.
Now, there may be levels of deniability or, you know, people being insulated from certain information, but when you're an intimate business partner like KU is with Adidas, to say that they had no idea what was going on is completely laughable.
All right. Hey, Matt, I appreciate your phone call. I'm just about out of time here, and like I said, if the FBI and the federal government want to get into to cleaning up, great. Have fun.
It's an asinine statement.
If you want to say, and look, Matt, I'm not disagreeing with you. This is what I'm telling you in response. You said that we'll look back on this era as a dark period in college athletics. This has been going on since the beginning of college athletics. I mean, weren't teams originally back in the 1800s? Hey, we got our best guys from Lawrence, who are pretty. I'm just making up dates here.
No, that's about right.
We got our best guys from Lawrence. You got a team over there in Columbia that want to play? Let's get together and play a game. And then it became, okay, we got this guy over in St. Louis and come over. It's been.
Wilt Chamberlain, the old joke as a Kansas fan is that he took a pay cut to go from Kansas to the Harlem Globetrotters. That was what? 70 years ago,
Eric Dickerson took a pay cut to go to the NFL after that.
Whenever people talk about how you can't be objective if you went to one of these schools, Rudy went to Kentucky. I know that he seems pretty objective when it comes to it. I went to Kansas. I'm a realist. They made blue chips 25 years ago.
Right.
If you're burying your head in the sand and being like, Kansas is the only school cheating. Mm. Okay, great. That's if you want to believe that is perfectly fine. Everybody cheats. College basketball is corrupt as a whole. It's absurd to think that it's just these like eight schools that are doing it.
Well,
get off my soapbox.
Let's finish with this. The Royals have a couple of games left. Baseball tonight on pregame tonight with Josh Briscoe, and that'll be at 5 o'clock, and then the postgame show immediately after the game. So let's end there with the Royals before we hand it off to the best of 810 WHB, followed by NBA coverage at 1:30. Okay, so the two pitchers that are interesting that are left in this series. Jacob Junis for the Royals goes tonight. You think he has the, looking at what the Angels have done the last couple of days and all season, this will be a big test for him and how well he's played. And I think he can do okay, but You know, the Ohtani's who gets talked about. He's not going to be in the lineup tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout is the best player on planet Earth. He'll be in the lineup. And then we forget, oh, yeah, Albert Pujols, Hall of Famers.
Zach Cozart was an all-star last year.
I mean, they have a solid. Andrew Calhoun's a good player.
A good player. They have a solid lineup.
Yeah. So this will be a challenge for
Jacob. I think Judas will perform, though. His slider's been so nasty. Yeah. He also will get the benefit. We'll see if the precipitation comes or not. But he's been so good, and it's so cold and windy. I could see his slider and the deception being pretty spot on tonight.
And then tomorrow afternoon for the series finale, we will see Ohtani go for the Angels.
I'm really excited about Skoglund.
Or not. I like kind of the dry sense of humor. I'm really excited for Skoglund.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to turn on my Twitter feed until I see Joel Goldberg post the lineup and see Ryan Goen's name in there.
Another then fan
I'll know,
favorite.
Then I'll know we're ready to
Hopefully Whit Merrifield's playing first.
We're ready to go. Hopefully Almonte's in
center
field.
That was a solid performance last night.
So on Ohtani, the most compelling story in Major League Baseball right now. And I heard Jeff Passan on earlier this week with Kevin Keatsman. And Jeff Passan is, when I read his stuff, first of all, I have to keep a dictionary handy because I have to look up at least three words from his stories because he is so good. But he also gives so much context and color to everything he writes about, which is fantastic. Go to Yahoo Sports to find Jeff Passan if you haven't already. But I'm glad he's over here at WHB now. But Ohtani, do we think this signals a future turn in Major League Baseball where they now start becoming more accepting of allowing a guy to pitch and play a position? Or is this an exception because Ohtani has been so good early on here and he did it for a lengthy period of time in Japan?
It certainly opens the door to the discussion. I think that baseball is so traditional in the sense that this is the way we've always done it. All the unwritten rules. I think this certainly opens the door to more possibilities of it. I know that the guy Rudy would know from Louisville who played first base and pitched last year.
Adam McKay.
There you go. Yeah. He's the organization that picked him up, the Rays, are letting
Tampa dabble
with that a little bit. I think that you're going to find more guys who pitched at a high level were also pretty damn good position players.
Right.
And you have to... With the limited roster space, you have to do it. It's the way that the game's going to evolve. They're going to look for every advantage. I made the joke about Whit Merrifield playing first. Having guys who play multiple positions and give you more flexibility is the trend that the game's going towards. So I think that Major League Baseball, regardless of how old hat and uncomfortable it will make them, is going to have to change.
And I used to travel with the Royals when Zach Greinke was on the team, and he would beg, "I'm so bored on my days off. I want to play." And one day we were in Arlington and I was in the press box with Paul Spieldorf, the late Paul Spieldorf. And somebody was out shagging fly balls by himself early with a coach. And I was like, who's out here shagging fly balls? Is somebody back from a rehab assignment I didn't know about? Split looks right at me and he goes, "It's Zach." And I said, "Why?" And he goes, "He still thinks they're going to let him play on non-pitching days. He still believes that." And I was like, "Okay." They never did. That's
Should
why
have.
He loved pitching in the National League games. He got that home run. Was it against the Diamondbacks? He got the home run against the. And so that,
where he also gave up like 12 runs?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's where he's. You know, that home run kind of convinced him, "I can do it." All right. I want to thank our guest from today. Former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson was fantastic. Cody Tapp out on the golf course for his brother's birthday. He joined us as well. And Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Thanks for joining us here on Sports Saturday. My thanks to Rudy Salazar running the board, Jed Marshall for being here in studio. We are live from the Rally House Studios, and enjoy the rest of your Saturday. You've been listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.